This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Kevin Crosston. Dr. Crosston is the CEO of North Memorial Healthcare. He'll talk to us about North Memorial, about top priorities this year, about his career, advice for leaders, and a little bit more. Dr. Crosston, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Oh, thanks, Scott. Yeah, my name's Kevin Crosston. I'm the Chief Executive Officer at North Memorial Health. North Memorial Health is a roughly billion-dollar revenue company in Minnesota. It includes basically a couple of hospitals, and then we have a large EMS service, which I can describe a little more as we go along here. We're positioned in the northwest quadrant of the Minneapolis-St. Paul Twin Cities market, and we cover the entire state with our EMS. I think a couple things. North Memorial Health started as a single hospital in 1954, and I know a lot of places have these stories, but we've grown from that. We have a network of 26 specialty and primary care clinics, urgent and emergency care, and a couple of hospitals. And we are the region's leading trauma and critical care provider, as well as we, just so you know, I'm pretty proud of this, we have the largest hospital-based air and ground service in the country. And our structure has grown and evolved over the years, but we've really focused our mission on delivering a differentiating experience for our customers. And so the system itself has about 2,000 doctors and about... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. But let me ask you about that, Dr. Crosston, because it's really a fascinating story. You're in a place where you've got Mayo Clinic not that far away. You've got some great health systems in the Minneapolis area. And yet you've built this special purpose sort of health system where you're the largest EMS in the country. It's a fascinating thing. Talk about the things that you view when you think about North Memorial. Talk about a couple of things that are particular points of pride like that.
Oh, good point. As you can guess, I'm full of pride on this place because that's what keeps us going. But there's a couple that I think I'd highlight. The thing that I think differentiates us from our competition, we're surrounded by large health systems. The Twin Cities was sort of the beginning of the managed care market. So we have an incredible engagement from our team members. And so people that come here feel the difference. They feel the empathetic care. I know a lot of places say that, but I challenge anybody to come here and experience the warmth and the loving arms of North Memorial Health and then leave and not say that it's the best experience they've had. And then, you know, our comment and our commitment is to keeping the customers in our heart and at the center of everything we do. Another thing that a lot of people say, I think we actually deliver on it. And I'm going to go as far as to say that we view ourselves, with a market that's consolidating. The reason that we haven't consolidated has been we think that in order to do that, we are community stewards. So they come to us, they tell us what they want. If somebody's going to make us better, we have to look at that. But in this particular market, our size has been our asset. We've been able to be agile and nimble. We've adjusted to circumstances that come along, and we've actually been able to be a market differentiator. And as long as we're doing that, we don't see the opportunity or feel the need to find a bigger system to cohabitate with, for lack of a better word.
And let me ask you another question. You've been with the system as a practicing surgeon and then as a leader now for about 30 years almost.
I have.
What's the secret to being in one place for 30 years? What sort of, take a moment, what career professional advice you'd give to people? Because there's a secret to that. It's a real secret, but there's a method to being at one place for 30 years in this world of sort of instant gratification, instant job hopping, stuff like that. How do you stay someplace both liking the place and them liking you for 30 years?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. So a couple things. You know, when I started in practice, I'm a general surgeon. I trained for that. I joined a private practice group, and we covered six hospitals in the metro. And I ended up being down at North Memorial more because it seemed to click, and some of my colleagues that I knew were here, and I was just kind of drawn to the place. And then I became they decided to become a level one trauma hospital. They were just a suburban hospital that took care of trauma patients at the time. And so they were looking for somebody to do that. And I had trained at Hennepin County Medical Center. So I was one of the people here that had some trauma experience. So I stepped up, and I would tell you that the leadership opportunity for that was eye-opening. I had a chance to develop something with a team. You know, the work as a surgeon is very different. It's very detail-oriented and very individualized. And then you get with a team and you see the impact you can make. You know, the number of lives that are saved from the work that a group does is multiple times more than you can do as a surgeon on a daily basis. So I had the luxury of doing both, and we kind of grew together. So we went from not being a trauma hospital to being a level one trauma hospital, and I kept getting more and more responsibility and eventually migrated into the chief medical officer role. Kind of reluctantly, because they didn't really want to give up my practice, but they allowed me to do both while I did that for a while. And then, you know, I like to call it the funny moment when the board came to me and said, we'd like you to be the CEO, because I wasn't really looking for that job. But when I got it, it's been the most fun I've had, and it's a source of pride. And I know as leadership opportunities go, I can't imagine a better position to be in than this and see the work that people do. It's been so inspiring. You know, I get to walk through these halls every day and greet everybody at both facilities. I'm out at the ambulance bases, and it's a remarkable organization. So my advice to people is find people you want to work with and then enjoy it. You know, that's really the best thing we can do.
And talk for a moment about this. Well, I'll ask you one question somewhat facetiously. You know, you're from South Dakota and Minnesota originally. And I'm a huge fan of the movie, you know, the Fargo movie and so forth. And you don't sound anything like that. Do you ever like worry that you don't say, you know, that you don't speak enough like a true Minnesotan?
Great question. It's a standing joke with Minnesotans. You know, if we're out socializing, we refer to the Fargo lingo, you know. You know, we get the Norwegian accent and we do it. So that's a standing joke with us. No, believe it or not, most people in Minnesota speak pretty good English. They're pretty articulate. It's pretty funny. And South Dakota, for that matter. Yeah.
Yes. No. And I get a chance to visit with some of those centered, brilliant people from Ball. So just
oh, no, I know you do.
That I hear.
And, you know, I want to point one thing out, though, just to clear things up. Fargo is in North Dakota, and South Dakota doesn't resemble North Dakota at all.
And I thought I knew that from my geography of Pierre versus Fargo and stuff like that. I thought I was there, but I wasn't quite sure. But anyway, that's another question.
That's funny.
As you look at 2021, top three priorities at North Memorial and leadership, what do you look at this year? What are the big priorities?
Yeah, you know, so a couple things. COVID care is going to continue to be a key focus for all health systems coming up. You know, the first year was really challenging, but it's not less challenging this year. There's still so much to do. So if we're trying to prioritize where we're heading, I think in the next 6 to 12 months, I'd say first up, we're deeply embedded in the COVID vaccination process. And so making sure that the vaccine is available to our communities we serve is going to be a big thing. And it's, you know, people think, what, you just set up a room and run people through it. It's a complicated operational process, and it takes a lot of time and work. And we've been able to manage that. So that's, I think, one big thing. But the second thing that I don't think people are talking about as much is we have to spend this next year caring for our caregivers. These folks have been through an incredibly difficult year. Our nurses sometimes, I think, saw more death than the soldiers in Afghanistan did. And they have post-traumatic stress, and they are tired. And we have put a lot of work into helping them build some resiliency and giving them support so that they can move past this and go back to the way they were before this started. And that's going to take some time and effort on all of our parts. And then lastly, when you have a pandemic like this, or when you have an event like this, reflecting on what you learned and then using it seems like a really good idea. You know, this is cliche to say it, but healthcare has been changed forever, and all the things that were broken about it are now up front and center. And so it's forced us all to think outside the box. And, you know, at North, we were kind of the mindset, because we were smaller, we'd let others work on the disruptive technology and then we would just adopt it faster. Well, I would tell you that we've had to get up front and center and start moving on those things faster than others now, because the world changed overnight and we've had to deliver on that. And then
Let me talk about that for one second, because that's a fascinating point. Because the traditional smart move for innovators has been to do exactly what you said. It's like not to be a first mover, but to be a second mover. And the reason for that is the first mover works out so many kinks, has so many troubles, so many problems. I've seen this time and time again when people change their EMR system, they change their receivable system, and it's a disaster till it's been done by enough other people that they're okay, we can adopt it now. you said something fascinating about disruptive technology, that traditionally you've taken that, you know, we're $1 billion, not a $10 billion system. We'll be a second mover and figure it out. But now you said during COVID, and the beauty of being the $1 billion system, not the $20 billion system. And again, to think that $1 billion systems are no longer huge systems is just itself insane, given the goodness that you have.
Yeah,
that's
sick.
But the concept that now you had to be disruptive, you had to be a first mover in things, it's a fascinating change of perspective and the ability to do so at a nimble size.
Right. I mean, you know, we've been a little bit of a beta site for some of the software builders here in town all along. Minneapolis is kind of a big place for that. But I would tell you that we avoided that until we couldn't. And so it's not a disruptive technology, but we did very little telehealth. And then overnight, you know, in a matter of a month, we went from almost none to, you know, 40,000 visits a month. And then it went up from there. And that's just a good example. The software all of a sudden moved forward. We've got a lot of things we're trialing here now that we didn't used to do. I still think, you know, that our place is to be available for people to learn at and do that. But I don't think we're going to be a market leader in that technology. I still think our play is going to be to let the others do the work and us to benefit from it. But it does change our perspective. And we've had to wade into that differently than we did before.
It's really a fascinating perspective. It's a very honest perspective and a smart perspective, quite frankly. I love hearing it, actually. Talk for a moment about, Dr. Morris, you've had this magnificent career. I mean, I bet you never thought, as a general surgeon starting in surgical practice, you ended up CEO of the hospital that you practiced at for a very long time. But what advice would you give to emerging leaders? What are a few pieces of advice you'd give to emerging leaders or emerging physicians wanting to have great careers, wanting to have fulfilling, impactful careers?
Yeah, you know, I get asked that a lot, which is fascinating because, like I mentioned earlier, it wasn't my goal to do this, to your point. So I would say this, a couple of things. Always remember that you need to have fun at your job, and that I believe, I really truly believe this, that working in healthcare is a gift. Prior to the pandemic, you know, I had friends that were kind of trying to find the meaning of life, very successful business guys, and they were going all over the place to do mission work. And I come to my facilities and I see it every day. I see people that I can make a difference to every single day in one way or another. And we try to remind our staff that, you know, sometimes it's just smiling and greeting somebody in the hall that changes their trajectory for a day. But if you're not paying attention, you're going to miss it. So enjoy that and enjoy the simple fact of the matter that you're in something that really makes a difference and lead that way. I would also say, the best part of healthcare, or if you really want to be successful at it, is you have to learn to be a really good collaborator, a team member, and maybe a coach, because you want to, you know, share the wins with the team, and you want to empower those around you more than people have. One of the things being a surgeon taught me was, you know, every week I had to stand in front of a room of other surgeons and talk about the things that went well and didn't go well, and I got a lot of feedback. You got to be open to that. In healthcare, it only works if you fail fast. Go out and, you know, make decisions, move on them. If they're wrong, change, pivot hard, go a different direction, take accountability for your decision making. It's okay to make a mistake. It's not okay to wallow in it. And you'll find that your team will back you up. If you get the right folks working with you, you can do remarkable things. And that's the most eye-opening thing that I experienced, was just how much everybody rowing in the same direction could deliver. Those are things that you can't explain until you've experienced, but it's a pretty meaningful life that you can leave if you do it that way. And then one other thing was, you know, good leaders don't have to be the smartest people in the room. In fact, sometimes that's a hindrance. So be a good leader. Be the kind of person that emulates what you're doing. You want to model it for others. You want to be the kind of person you'd like them to be. And then, you know, use that to bring fresh eyes when you come to work every day. It's really hard to reset every night when you go home. But if you can do that and come in and see things like you've never seen them before on a regular basis, you'll be much more effective in your jobs, because these are fun things. We get responsibilities that nobody else can experience or understand. And when you make a difference, you know it, and you get that feedback. That's probably a surgeon's perspective. I'm used to getting immediate feedback. You know, we do a surgery and it goes well or it doesn't. I chuckled with my group when I first started that I would spend a day doing a bunch of surgeries and seeing people in clinic and getting their results right away. And now I spend 6 months getting somebody to say maybe. But it does, you know, it matters. And if you pay attention to it, every day matters.
Thank you. I think there's some great advice and thoughts there. And I'll just pull out three of them real quick. Is, you know, pay attention to your people, what you see them doing and doing. It's almost the old adage. It's easy to criticize somebody, but if you can find them doing something right, that's really the right position to praise the heck out of them and do something right and be paying attention, see people. You know, and your point is you smile at somebody well, you show them that you care, and you might have made the trajectory of their day change very much so. And life is directional, isn't it? You also mentioned a couple other points that really, you know, I think most people have come to understand that even with these great iconic leaders, nothing gets done without magnificent teams. And whether Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, any of these people, everything that really gets done in life gets done with great teams, not with individuals. And the more you can get a team rolling in the right direction, fabulous. And
absolutely.
A great phrase, you know, somebody used yesterday about move fast by yourself, move a lot further with a team. And I think that's very true. There's
absolutely.
A third point you made that I absolutely loved, and it's a hard thing to do. And that's to every day try and keep enough of your mind open so you're learning and seeing different things and seeing different opportunities. And this is easier when you're fully engaged, you're physically, mentally healthy, you're thinking about things right. But this constant concept of taking a step back, breathing, and being able to see what can we do better, what can we do differently, and taking that fresh set of eyes all the time is a real gift for a leader to be able to do that. And the fourth point you made that I actually am a huge believer in as well is if you see something going the wrong direction, yes, you have to give enough time to see what it really is, but it's okay to pull the plug and abandon things and really focus on the things that are important. I mean, you guys didn't get to have the biggest EMS system in the world or the country without at some point deciding we're going to keep on putting resources into that and make it extraordinary. And that means if you're putting all the resources into that, there's only so many resources to put into other things. You have to make choices to where you're going to put, dollars, energy, minds, people, your best people, all those kinds of things. And you have to be willing to pull the plug on things that aren't working. And it takes a certain amount of courage and conviction to make those choices. But Dr. Gleason, it's just a great pleasure to visit with you, full of interesting information and just a magnificent career to watch. Fantastic. Thank you for joining us this morning in the Becker's Healthcare Podcast.
Thank you for having me, Scott. It was fun.